I'm so glad to have Sharon with us. Today we stood outside the abundance shop and we waved to people, and people came in for prayers and ashes. And there were moments when it felt a bit like we were on Heathrow and one was coming in just as the other one was taking off. I was so grateful to have Sharon to be there and to welcome people with her amazing way. And so why did people come? We actually had about 97 people. Isn't that amazing? And maybe 17 of them at the most were from this congregation. And so we had 80 people who stopped for a prayer and for ashes. Some of them were Catholics who were like really glad that they could do it without going to church. So that was that was definitely part of it. But there are other people who said, I am so glad to be prayed with. And it was a great blessing to them. So today, tonight, we are remembering that we are mortal. That's what the ashes are about. We are made of stardust, and to dust we will return, carbon to carbon. And why do we do this year after year? As if our unexpected aches and pains were not enough to remind us that we are mortal. We do it because as humans, we are prone to hubris. Hubris is a word from ancient Greek, which meant an overweening presumption that leads a person to disregard the divinely fixed limits on human action in an ordered cosmos. Hubris leads us to imagine that as long as we have enough money or a big enough house, that we'll be okay. Hubris leads us to think that we can go it alone without God. Hubris leads us to think that somehow we are immortal. But the opposite of hubris is humility, which is knowing your place in the world. And that is never the lowest of the low. Imagining that you are the most terrible sinner and totally unworthy of God's love is a kind of inverted hubris, because it's refusing to accept the amazing gift of God's grace. Humility is knowing who you are, who I am, the beloved child of God, no better and no worse than anyone else. Humility is knowing your strengths, your gifts, as well as your failings, and giving them all to be used in God's service. St. Benedict had a lot to say about humility. He reminded his monks of Jacob's dream, in which he saw a ladder with angels ascending and descending. In a kind of cosmic chutes and ladders, Benedict said that you go up the ladder by humility and you descend by pride or hubris. Which moves him on to talk about surrender. Surrender is not a popular word in our culture, but it's an important one spiritually. Because if we are to grow spiritually, if we are to grow closer to God, at some point we have to say, like Mary did to the angel Gabriel, be it unto me according to your word. At some point we have to align our will with God's and give our lives over to God as we understand God. And that is surrender. That is coming to God with humility. Now, in that first reading which Sandy read for us, we heard that the people of Israel were going through the motions. They were ostentatiously fasting and following religious rituals, but not living the lives of peace and justice that would demonstrate that they were people of the one true God, who is the embodiment of peace, justice and love. And God was quite clear with them that they were on the wrong track. God is not interested in religious observance, which is just outward show. God is not interested in pride and hubris masquerading as piety. God looks on the heart. God looks on what is going on inside us. Having ash on your face is pointless unless it is matched by humility in your heart. Unless it is matched by your dependence upon God's love. But why would we not depend on God? Because, my friends, we are humans, and humans tend to pride and hubris. But the path of humility and surrender to divine love is the path which gives us life. It may appear to be going down the chute, but as Benedict points out, it is actually going up the ladder towards union with God. Because we can trust God to know the best thing for us in every circumstance. In every moment, we can choose to trust in God and God's path. And that's choice. That choice is what brings us closer. It draws us closer to the author of our very being. It draws us closer to divine fire. It draws us closer to divine love. But to make that choice, to make the choice to trust in God and God's love, means that we can no longer boast about our achievements or our activities or our possessions, because we realize that all we have is a gift from God, given to us just because. And all that seems to go wrong in our lives is also part of our walk with God. It's not a punishment, it just is. It just is part of human, being human and living this life. I was struck when Berkeley was reading with that list that Paul gives. In afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, especially the hunger. That's not something that draws us to the idea of following God, is it, to be going through all those things? And yet they are part of what happens to people. And we know just from looking at the news that they're happening to people right now in this moment. And there just aren't words. But it's part of our walk with God. It's part of the world's walk with God. It's not a punishment. It just is. It's just part of being human, living this life in this world which is broken in so many ways. When we are fully surrendered to God, we know that nothing can get between us and the unquenchable love of God. No amount of hardship or suffering can separate us from the God to whom we belong. And that is a place of peace. So tonight, as we come to God in repentance together, let us not see this as some kind of ritual backbeating, but as a corporate acknowledgement that we are human, and that because we are human, we depend on the God who made us and loves us. Let us take this opportunity to step a little further into surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Let us take another step on the ladder of humility, which will lead us into union with the Christ. Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. This season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. Thereby, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Saviour, and of the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance. And as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer.